I also want to thank Mike for inviting me and the Institute for putting this on today. This is an issue that I think is growing in importance, and it's something that the United States is really going to have to grapple with over the next decade, and it's going to be a very important issue. Pete left me a good segue because I'm going to talk a little bit about what I see as an incipient arms race in space and what the drivers might be toward that, kind of where we've come from. As Pete mentioned, back in the Cold War, there were efforts to negotiate some kind of cap or ban on anti-satellite weapons. At the same time, both the Soviet Union and the United States pursued anti-satellite capabilities. There were tests and, in some cases, brief deployments of systems. But they never quite fell over the brink, so they never really put in place programs. And even though they failed to reach negotiated settlements. So I think there are some historical lessons to be learned there and to be discussed. One of the reasons that they didn't fall over the brink was that both sides were very, very concerned about the impact anti-satellite weapons might have on crisis stability and the nuclear balance, because satellites were crucially important to each side knowing what the other's nuclear forces were up to. And there were clear concerns about protecting what then was called national technical means in order to have some transparency and some warning and not to get into a situation of accidental nuclear war. I'm going to say something at the end about how those dynamics may or may not have changed. Pete put his finger on what I think is the primary driver toward a renewed, if you will, arms race in space, and that is that the technology of space has come to be integrated so closely with tactical military operations, and not only here in the United States, but increasingly in other countries, in Europe and in Russia and eventually in China. When you tie tactical military operations more closely with your space operations, you start to have to ask yourself the question, well, what's a fair target? What do I want to target? So that's probably the key driver. The reason that this has happened is because the technology has proliferated and it's become cheaper and easier for nations, and there are now more and more nations who are developing and deploying dual-use systems as well as strictly military systems, but you don't have to have a military satellite to gain military benefits from a satellite. So what we've seen in the recent past is in my opinion, evidence that we are moving to a kind of tipping point, perhaps, on this issue. And that is certainly the Chinese anti-satellite weapons test of January 2007. They destroyed one of their own satellites using essentially a modified ballistic missile. They became then the third nation after the Soviet Union and the United States to deliberately test anti-satellite weapons technologies. And then just recently we had the U.S. Navy doing is known as a deliberate takedown. It really wasn't a shoot down because you don't shoot the thing. I mean, they smashed it in orbit, a spy satellite that was out of control. And while the rationale for that was public safety, the problem of not knowing where the satellite might fall, it's very clearly the case that demonstrated or redemonstrated U.S. anti-satellite weapons capabilities, and that cannot be lost on the other nations of the world. So we have a situation now where, in response to these two sort of bookends of activity, a number of other nations are now starting to consider their options. Certainly, Moscow has got to be thinking about, well, do we now need to be the third nation to redemonstrate our capabilities? President Putin has recently threatened to take retaliation if these kinds of tests continue. Another question is what happens in China. China was actually really surprised after their anti-satellite weapons test at how much negative political fallout came from that, and it prompted some rethinking in Beijing about what they actually really wanted to go ahead and do. And I'm very concerned that the recent U.S. action is simply going to give ammunition to the hardliners in China who want to continue with an anti-satellite weapons development. You should remember that Russia and China for a very long time have suspected that the U.S. missile defense program was not about defense at all. but it was about developing an offensive space control program. And I personally don't believe that. I think the two things have different drivers, but, you know, using a missile defense asset to smash a satellite has got to pour fuel on that particular fire. Also, in recent days, after the U.S. move, India has apparently entered into a very serious internal debate. For a long time, the Indian Air Force has been pushing to get a strictly military space program, and for a long time, they've failed. In the wake of the Chinese anti-satellite test, remembering that China is India's chief strategic rival in the region, the Air Force was making headway and had gotten approval to go forward with an aerospace command. The U.S. action prompted some remarks by the former president, Abdul Kalam, who stated that India could destroy satellites up to 200 kilometers, but that it needed better capability. And the argument here in India, which I think is an argument that may actually finally sway the Indian government, which has been sort of staving this off, is that they don't want to be in the same situation they were in with the Nuclear Non-Proliferation Treaty. And as you may recall, the NPT was signed before India had been able to demonstrate a nuclear weapons capability, and therefore they were always considered a bad guy. They were outside the regime, they didn't want to sign, they saw it as discriminatory, and they wanted to catch up. There is now discussion that if there is going to be an anti-satellite weapons arms race, India needs to get its capabilities off the ground before anyone makes an effort to constrain them. So this is could be a real change in Indian politics, because up to now they've been actually supportive of using diplomatic measures to constrain such an arm race, and this may change their minds. They may now push back in an effort to develop capabilities to prove that they are just as capable as China. And of course, where India goes, Pakistan will go. Pakistan is technically behind, but it has a ballistic missile program, and it could certainly, if it so chose, make efforts to catch up and to demonstrate capability. And lastly, we have Iran. The U.S. is already concerned about what Iran is up to with ballistic missiles in its space program. It would seem to me that the action that the U.S. took with regards to its failing satellite could serve as kind of a green light for Iran to undertake a similar test, as long as they did it in a responsible way. And I will say that the U.S. was not irresponsible. That's not true. They gave notice of what they were going to do to allies, and they also made sure that the space debris threat from this action would be very minimal. So it's not that it was an irresponsible act in the same way that the Chinese anti-satellite test was, but you have to worry about what precedents are set. In my humble opinion, this could be a very bad thing if we do actually see ourselves enter into an anti-satellite arms race. And the reason is that what you're seeing demonstrated, these kinds of capabilities, these destructive capabilities using missiles or air-launch missiles or sea-launch missiles or ground-launch missiles, are actually one of the easier methods to destroy a satellite, and it's also a method that you are sure of kill because you can see the kill. And therefore, militaries tend to like things that they know have actually been effective. So there are drivers toward this particular type of weapon, easier to do in the short term, and you have a high probability of knowing. And the problem, of course, is that these types of weapons create massive amounts of orbital debris. The Chinese test created 2,000-plus pieces of space debris larger than a baseball, and at least 150,000 other pieces that are bigger than a marble but big enough to kill a sat, but you can't track. So you can only track things down to about the size of a baseball. Anything smaller, it's very difficult to track and get out of the way of. The Chinese satellite was a one-ton satellite, a small satellite. Most military and communications satellites are around 10 tons or maybe more, so bigger. A lot bigger. And when you smash a lot bigger satellite, you get a lot more space debris. And space is already polluted, particularly in the orbits that are most useful to human activities. So the specter of a shooting war in space ought to concern everyone who actually uses space, because space debris knows no nationality. It's indiscriminate. It can kill a commercial satellite just the same as one of your own. So it's not a very pretty picture when you start to think about a handful of 10-ton satellites being smashed up in a shooting war in space. And so it seems to me that given the fact that, as was mentioned by Ivan, that the United States is actually the most dependent on space, and we are the leading space power with the most satellites, that we would be the nation most concerned about this. And in fact, the U.S. Air Force has long said that it doesn't like those types of weapons. It would really rather not go there. On the other hand, the U.S. government has never been willing to close the option of going there. So in my own humble opinion, I think we've set ourselves into a strategic dilemma, whereas our refusal to rule out this, to rule out these types of weapons is encouraging other people to pursue them, which is not in our interest. And that's something that really has to be discussed, I think, in detail, and it's going to really need to be addressed by the next administration because other nations are moving, and we need to figure out what we're going to do about that. So I'm going to quit there.